Hi, this is Megan Williams in my apartment in Rome, and I'm going to be reading from my short story collection called Saving Rome, which was published this year by Second Story Press in Canada. And the story that I'm going to be reading from is called Home, and it begins with a woman driving around her neighborhood in Rome trying to find a parking spot, which is an eternal challenge here. And she has her two young sons in the back seat. So she's having a rough time. Parking loomed. Parking was a form of stalking, a deceptively languorous cruise towards a vulnerable gap in the steel and rubber landscape. No matter if the opening was lined with pedestrian stripes, or blocked six other cars, or appeared on a sidewalk, or acted as a school entrance, only a Canadian seminarian on a first visit to the Vatican would think twice about parking in it. Notions of fairness, thoughtfulness, and legality didn't apply. Eye and lunge, darling. Parking was a killer's game. Incredibly, empty parking spots flanked her building. She signaled, and with space to spare, found herself employing a technique from her happy past, the three-point turn as taught by young drivers of Canada. Come on, kids, out you get. She reached back, unstrapped the booster seats, slid out her door, and opened the curbside door for the sulky boys. Almost home, the drone in her skull dimmed. A Carabinieri officer appeared, stick figure thin in his black uniform. He bore a striking resemblance to Bert from Sesame Street. "Signora," he said, not smiling, "you can't park here." "What do you mean I can't park here?" she retorted. "This is my building." "Signora," he repeated, "please move your car. This building is under police protection. There's been a threat against the American Embassy employees, and we have to clear the parking for security reasons." She scoffed loudly. Officer Burt's mouth formed a perfectly straight line. "Listen, can't I leave it here for a little while?" she asked, hoisting Luca on her hip to underline her maternal burden. "Just until I get the kids upstairs. I can show you my ID, and I promise there won't be any bombs." "Not even a firecracker," piped in Marco. "Not even a fart," added Luca, and made a fart sound. The twins giggled. "Signora, get in your car and move it now." So Luca back off her hip, back into the car, kids buckled back up, back behind the steering wheel, the static back on high in her head. She squeezed into traffic and rolled forward about 2 meters to a red light. Then right turn, stall, stop, right, stall, stop, right, stall, stop. The boys began to fight over the torso of a toy monster. She circled for another 17 minutes, shaking her fist menacingly between the boys to try to keep them from clobbering each other, passing her building and the Carabinieri 3 times. Finally, just around the corner, she spied a car liberating a parking spot. It beckoned, fresh and full of promise, and it would be hers as soon as the lights changed. She tapped a little rhythm on her steering wheel. She encroached onto the pedestrian crossing. Then a black Mercedes swept like a bat out of hell across the intersection in a flagrant up-your-ass U-turn and screeched towards her spot. She ran the red, cut off the Mercedes, and plunged into the spot. Her spot. Hers. 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 She cackled. She was adapting. Come along, youngsters. She helped the distressed youngins out of the car, urging them to simply tune out the angry honking of that nasty black car. They marched around the corner and across the street to their building. As they approached the entrance, Luca pointed. "Look, Mommy, the police officer who made us get back into the car is smoking. It's bad to smoke, right?" "Very bad. His lungs are probably dripping with disgusting black tar." "Gross," said the boys. "That's right, gross." The Carabinieri stood with arms crossed, cigarette between thumb and index finger, casually chatting with another officer. He coolly raised one bushy Bert eyebrow at her and blew out a stream of smoke. She gave him the finger. "Come on, fellas, almost there!" Into the building they went, past the nodding portiere and toward the elevator. Definitely didn't plan that one. The cop's mouth had actually rounded in surprise, a cartoon O. Funny. Yet a dumb, dumb move. All into the elevator, up, 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 and away to the refuge of home. "Home, sweet home," she chimed as they burst through the door into their front hall. Door shut, home free. She yanked off the boys' shoes and threw their jackets into the armoire. Rome, Rome on the range, she warbled. The boys joined in. Where the deer and the antelope play. She made her way to the kitchen, and the imported peanut butter that solved the snack issue as no Italian after-school treat could. Where seldom is heard, she felt as ebullient and precarious as a hot air balloon. An English word. The doorbell buzzed. She ignored it. Then it buzzed longer. Mommy, said Marco, someone's at the door. Shh, it's probably gypsies asking for money. We don't want them to know we're home. She sat the boys down at the table in front of sandwiches and milk. Gypsy blaming. How very Italian of her. The doorbell buzzed again. But Mommy, whined Luca, plugging his ears, the noise is hurting my ears. She reached up into the high cupboard and pulled out two chocolate eggs. With a finger over her lips, she tossed them to the boys. The sound had become a solid screech.